Like the pandemic, though, price hikes don't appear to be going away anytime soon. I think we're going to see inflation get worse before it gets better, says Sarah House, an economist with Wells Fargo. Inflation is no longer confined to a few pandemic-plagued categories such as lumber or used cars. Upward pressure on prices is spreading throughout the economy. There is nowhere for consumers to hide, House says. It suggests inflation is going to be stickier. Airfares were down in October, but they're likely to take off again as travel picks up. Rents are rising too. While wages are climbing, especially in industries like restaurants, many businesses are passing those added labor costs out to the consumers in the form of higher prices. All of this is weighing on Americans' attitudes. A survey by the University of Michigan released recently shows people are as gloomy about the economy as they have been in a decade. One out of four people said their living standards had fallen this month because of inflation. That presents a serious political liability for Biden, whose approval ratings on the economy have fallen below 40%. Biden acknowledges the hardship that higher prices are causing. Everything from a gallon of gas to a loaf of bread costs more, he told the crowd in Baltimore. And it's worrisome even though wages are going up. Biden said in a statement that reversing inflation is a top priority for him, but many voters won't be satisfied until prices start to level off. Nick Apodikas wonders why the Biden administration isn't doing more, even if the White House's options are limited. He says, I think that the White House is not focused as much on the things that the people need. I understand that climate change is an important thing, he says, nodding to another administration priority. Focus on climate change, but also focus on price change, he said.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran, for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. I'm your host Musa Al-Bahalili, and you are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss issues, questions, and other relevant circumstances or topics parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. As usual, all of the answers are based upon the Holy Quran and the narrations of the household of the Prophet and, of course, of the Prophet himself. Peace be upon them all. Joining us in our studio is our guest speaker and dear friend, Sayyid Abdullah Musa, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sayyid, I welcome you and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sayyid. So our topic today is a continuation of the previous session's topic about how a parent can be the best possible parent they can be. We spoke about how preparedness is the first step to accomplishing such a task, and the second step is how important it is for the parent to prioritize different things in the early stages of the children's life. We mentioned as an example, perhaps sometimes you need to buy a book for your children instead of buying them a toy. Sometimes it's vice versa, and so on and so forth, depending on the situation. So to say it, now that we learned these two steps, what can we do to become the best possible parent we can be?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Now, being an outstanding, distinguished, excellent parent, be it a male or female, a mother or a father, amongst your peers, amongst your friends, amongst your comrades, amongst other parents, are a number of things that need to be kept in mind. You mentioned the two things that we've talked about previously, and now we want to mention a few more as well, if time permits.
Inshallah.
An important feature a parent needs to have is being just, as we call adil. Right. Now, right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ, if you judge between people, أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ, that you deal with justice.
Right.
Now, dealing with justice is quite important for a parent to be different from the rest. For example, a parent needs to be fair and just when he makes a mistake, that he admits he made a mistake.
Oh, that's a difficult one to say.
Uh-huh. So with children, when they make a mistake, we want them to admit that they made a mistake.
And immediately.
Immediately. Right. Okay, apologize. A parent, a successful parent, if he makes a mistake, he's adil, he is just to say, okay, that is what I expect from my children, I'm going to do the same. I do apologize, my son. Sorry, my daughter. Right. That's wrong of me. I shouldn't have done that.
They please. Set an example.
Yeah, please forgive me.
Right.
I remember for example, my father would always, sometimes when he gets angry and stuff like that, he would, after a while, he come back and he apologizes, like, I am sorry, you know, forgive me, I got angry. So a successful parent is the one that is just, and I just give you one example.
Right. And on that note, they'll say we'll go on a quick break.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Today we're discussing how a parent can excel in their duty as a good parent. Dear Said, please continue the discussion.
Okay. We were talking about being just. So we said being just as a parent, it actually makes your kids, if you're constantly just, you know, adil in everything, it will make your kids love you, because naturally speaking, as human beings, we are inclined towards those who are just.
Right.
Because we don't fear anything wrong from them.
We do not fear any wrongdoing, oppression.
Yeah, because like he's right. A just person, he will only do that which is good.
Right.
So with parents, if the parent is just and the kids know that, that first will make them love the parents, one. Two, it would make them treat one another with fairness and justice as well, because this is the feature that
right.
runs in the family. So this is something that we require. Now, that adds to the success of the murabbi, of the educator, of the parent, and adds a success to kids themselves, that they learned a new trait, a virtue, as we say. So that's what I'm saying. It's important to be just. It's very important. It's very important for a parent, for example, to be just when arguments happen between children themselves.
Right.
Right. When children argue between themselves,
and you intervene, you have to be just, because sometimes we burden the older with too much and we spoil the younger because he's the youngest, he's the weakest.
Right.
He's a, no, you should be fair with all of them, right? You should teach them to learn to be fair and equal amongst each other. So if they see that kind of action from you, that you are being fair with one another, they like
right.
they get into an argument. And so sometimes when my child, when my son gets an argument with my daughter, for example, the mother was like, "Are you the boy? Give it to her." I was like, no. Him
right.
being a boy, it doesn't mean I overtake his right.
Doesn't mean do not be
yeah.
fair or
you
equal.
No. You don't,
right.
You don't overtake his right. Now, you give him the choice. If he wants to give to his sister, that's up to him.
Right.
But you can't just force it out of him because he's the boy and
it
she's
a
girl.
It is expected of you.
Yes.
No.
So don't play that card. Right.
Right.
So if the parents are just in this kind of dealing with the children, when it comes, the children will learn that trait and they would love their parents and they will be more successful. When it comes to giving gifts, for example, sometimes you see a parent would buy something for the young ones and he leaves the older one. Now that creates a lot of
right.
tension between
exactly.
kids themselves. That's
jealousy.
Something we don't need.
Right.
So we need the kids to be loving one another. Now, if I have to buy one for my child, I have to buy another for my child as well. You know, like in Islam, if you had the chance to do polygamy, to be married to two women,
right.
Islamically, you are required to be fair to both of them. That if you buy this one a certain type of clothes, you need to buy the exact same thing for the other wife. So you need to be fair. I mean, they're grown adults. But Islam says because they're two, because they are under your protection and care, you need to give them the same. Give them equal the same. Each one gets her night, each one gets her everything, the same way that the other one gets. Same thing with children. We need that justice to happen in order for you to be a successful parent.
And on that note, dear Sayyid, we will go on a quick break.
Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam said, "A child's right is to be kind to him when educating him, forgiving him, covering his mistakes, acting moderately towards him, and helping him."
Welcome back. Dear listeners, you are listening to the program Islamic Upping. Today we are discussing how a parent can be the most excellent parent they may be. Dear Sayyid, please continue the discussion about how important it is for the parent to be just.
Okay, so we said that a parent, to be successful, to be distinguished, to be outstanding amongst other parents, the fact that they need to be just, and we mentioned a few things. And justice is the thing that if a person makes as a habit in the house and dealing between his kids, it's one of these things that will increase the love of children for the parents. And sometimes when, if God forbid, if a relationship breaks up and the parents get to separate, you would see that the children, they would maintain that relationship with both parents because
right.
they have no issue with them. Now, if the kids see that one of the parents is more oppressive, then when a divorce happens or separation happens, you see that the children, they would neglect, or at least they would fight, or they would stand against the other parent because they know that this guy or this mother is not wanted. I remember a case recently that I got of being through where the child, he sent his father a voice message. And
right.
because the child, he saw that most of the times during in the house when they were living together, the father would always do things that the mother now or the child perceived to be unjust. Now, from the perspective of the father, he was doing the right thing. But
right.
maybe things didn't go very well. So the child, he thinks that the father was unjust. So he sent him a voice message calling him all sorts of names. And he
oh
was
no.
only like, I don't know, 11, 12, right? Calling him names, swearing at his dad, saying to him, you're an evil man, you this and you that. Now, obviously, the mother had something to do with it.
We cannot deny that fact. Of course.
But sometimes I've seen other relationships when they break up, but I've seen that the perfect harmony between the kids and the parents, even though they are separated, because at least that the father at a certain stage, he's fair to his kids. He's just to his kids. He doesn't, you know, separate between them when it comes in terms of love, in terms of care, in terms of gifts, in terms of arguments, in terms of everything. He is cool with his children. No, maybe he has a problem with his spouse. But when it comes to children, he's cool with them. Now, this is the kind of fairness that we want. Because God forbid, if a person is unjust to his kids. Now, mind you, the kids are trust and amana from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now,
right.
I don't want to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being questioned for the injustice that I've made amongst my kids or amongst my family. Because at the end of the day, every action that I do, every word that I say, it would have an effect in a way or another on the family. It would have an effect on the child's upbringing. It would have an effect on the child's mentality. It would leave a trauma. So constantly, if I am mindful and watchful of my actions and I'm trying to be as just as I can, then obviously that should create this sense of peace in the house. And inshallah, I will be safe once I go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if I don't keep that, then not only I will destroy the family here, I also will be questioned in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And may Allah show mercy on us that day. Dear Sayyid, I thank you for providing us with valuable information. I also thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. Dear listeners, if you have any questions, comments, or just some feedback, please contact us at our email at englishradio@irrb.ir. You can also visit our website at parstoday.com. Alternatively, you can also find us on the various social media accounts we have, on, for example, Facebook or Instagram, under the call handle of Call of Islam Radio. Thank you for tuning in.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returns upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Islam solves all of our problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and condolences to all on a doleful day. Today, the 10th of Rabiul Thani, is the passing away anniversary of one of the noblest ladies of the Holy Prophet's blessed household. She was Hazrat Fatima Masumah, peace be upon her, the daughter of Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him, who, after a brief 17-day sojourn in the Iranian city of Qom, failed to recover from the fatigue of the long journey from Medina and departed for the ethereal heavens. On hearing of this sad news, her brother, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Reza, peace be upon him, who was in Khorasan, gave the tidings, "Whoever visits her tomb, cognizant of her status, paradise is the reward."
Thank you.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The light.
In Venezuela, a large number of musicians are striving for one common goal, and that's setting the Guinness record as the world's largest orchestra. Over 12,000 musicians, mostly children and adolescents, have played together to make that happen. Hundreds of violins, violas, and double basses playing in unison at this setting in Caracas. The musicians are all connected to the country's network of youth orchestras. For them to set a record, over 8,000 instruments had to play at the same time during a 5-minute period of a classical piece. Right now, a Russian orchestra that played the country's national anthem is holding the record. Once done, the crowd of musicians erupted in cheers, lifting their instruments and waving Venezuelan flags. Guinness will announce its decision in the next 10 days. Tourists and residents in Los Angeles have been mesmerized by a dazzling new event the U.S. city is hosting, with holiday-themed and full of colorful lights. Visitors can enjoy a mile-long walkway covered on all sides with brightly lit installations. Artists from around the world have taken part in the exhibition. The centerpiece display is a cathedral tunnel lit with thousands of bulbs. Another amazing attraction is the orbs, lit up with thousands of torches. The event has been a huge hit with the LA public.
Oh my gosh, it's so nice.
And it gets to be out in the open, and it's like a perfect night to do it, so it's great.
It's definitely the best. Like, we had to do, like, in a car to go see lights, and then we got to, like, now, like, go around and actually walk and get to see everything up close, which is super nice.
Yeah.
Definitely after the, year and a half that we've had.
Yeah.
So.
And it's really nice to see everything up close, because it's, like, you see in a photo, but then it's more real and real, so.
Yeah.
The event opened to the public on the 12th of November and will run for 5 nights. Preparations for the event, however, started a month ago. The organizers say millions of bulbs and 17 miles of cables are used for the 18 art installations.
Paleontologists in Brazil have discovered remains that could belong to a species of dinosaur as yet unknown. The fossils were found at a site in northeastern Brazil. A team of scientists is trying to put together the bones and complete the huge dinosaur's skeleton. They think it lived during the Cretaceous period, which began around 145 million years ago and ended with extinction of all dinosaurs roughly 66 million years ago. From a gray and gloomy look to a cheery and colorful appearance. That's the story of how a neighborhood in Peru's capital, Lima, is being transformed to become a tourist attraction. A group of artists in Lima are bringing color and joy to this hilly neighborhood by painting the walls of houses. Creating an optical illusion of a giant mural, the project is visible from different spots across the city. The designers are hoping what they did can improve the lives of residents in a neighborhood that was considered to be unsafe before.
What we are doing here is communal work with older neighbors, and we are doing it because it's important to change the environment through the use of colors. This hill was considered an unsafe and dangerous area of the city, so we decided to change that social stigma through art, which, for me as a muralist, is the best tool to achieve it.
The project was started 5 months ago, and workers are now putting the final touches to their work of art. The mural covers over 300,000 square meters. It's the largest in South America.
The birth of a baby sloth at an uncharacteristically hasty speed has surprised London zookeepers. A tiny two-toed sloth named Terry was born to a mother, Marilyn, at the weekend. The zookeepers say there was no sign at all that Marilyn was going into labor when they checked her in the morning. However, less than an hour, they spotted something like a tiny arm tucked into her tummy. Marilyn had quietly delivered the baby with no fuss at all while her keepers were chopping up sweet potatoes for her breakfast. The mother and baby are said to be doing well, but the zookeepers still don't know the sex of the baby.
Modern technology has changed our lives in countless ways, with robots now preparing to lend a hand in operation rooms. Surgical robots are on display at the 4th China International Import Expo. One of the machines, dubbed Mesa X, gives assistance in spinal surgery. Employing the robot can lessen bleeding by 50% compared to open surgeries. Another one assists doctors to perform interventional surgeries.
Guide valves in the vessels can be controlled even less than 1 millimeter. Yeah. This is not cannot be achieved by the human hands. With the great, I think, market impact from this showcase, we successfully performed a first case PCI in Hainan Boao on March 13th.
The producers say surgical robots will soon operate in more hospitals around China. Therefore, training centers have been established to help surgeons learn how to operate the new generation of surgical robots.
A tigress belonging to the endangered Bengal species has given birth to four cubs at the Mexican Zoo, bringing joy and hope to wildlife enthusiasts. The four were born in the San Jorge Park in the city of Ciudad Juarez on October 10th. Nearly a month on, they are in good health. That is good news, because usually when multiple cubs are born, not all of them survive. Zoo officials have not yet determined the sex of the newborn cubs. That is because their mother lets out a roar when the vets are nearby. Bengal tigers are endangered for two reasons: poaching and the destruction of their natural habitat. Here's what you can call killing two birds with one stone. Classic car lovers have gone on an exciting rally to see an erupting volcano. The event, organized by Beshbok Rallies, happened on a Saturday. Motorists taking part in the vintage rally had the unique opportunity to witness a volcano erupting ash and smoke. Most of the participants tried to get as close as they could to the volcano, but there were also those who chose to take other vehicles because they were afraid that their precious antique cars would be damaged.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
We
workers digging gas pipes in the Peruvian capital Lima have discovered a cemetery dating back 2 millennia. Archaeologists have recovered 6 bodies, including those of children. All of them were buried in a seated position. The site also yielded about 40 burial vessels. The findings are thought to belong to the culture known as White on Red, which settled on the central coast of Peru centuries ago during the pre-Hispanic era.
Often, it does not take much to bring about positive social change. In Johannesburg, a group of painters are creating artworks on the trolleys of street recyclers. Reason? To encourage bystanders to look up and notice the work recyclers, locally known as reclaimers, do in the community.
I like my work to have meaning, so when I get to paint and become a part of a project like this, it's great for me, you know, because it's not every day we get to, like, do stuff like this, so, yeah.
Up until now, they were just filthy-looking jumbo bags with recyclable waste wheeling along the streets. But thanks to graffiti artists who are giving them a makeover with bold and bright designs to help identify and protect the recyclers, artists say their goal is to build a relationship between neighborhood residents and waste pickers. The reclaimers roam around the city day and night, with some motorists even considering them a risk as the trolleys are not always visible. There are some 6,000 reclaimers in Johannesburg who make a living collecting, sorting, recycling garbage. It's a messy job, but they do it anyway. A group of women are joining hands to protect one of India's key natural sites that is also on UNESCO's heritage list, the Western Ghats, a mountain chain that's facing severe deforestation. The 27 members of this all-female task force are doing all they can to protect the area's rare ferns, mosses, and thousands of other plants. They're using a variety of gardening tools and techniques to preserve species from all over the mountains. Not only that, but they also make artificial conditions and habitats for endangered species from other parts of the world, mainly those affected by climate change. One of the conservationists explained that what they are doing is actually helping the forest regenerate.
We have witnessed the birth of a forest, and that's a very powerful thing. You know, the mind is filled with the ghastly stories of forests being cut, like the Amazon or like the Western Ghats. But here we're witness to the birth of forests as well. And that is the forest itself birthing itself, you see.
The Western Ghats Mountains are home to nearly 5,000 species of flowering plants, but many of them are globally threatened. Only less than half of the area's flora is currently under conservation. Scientists say the outlook for the mountain is very concerning. Carbon dioxide is one of the causes of global warming, but can we get rid of it to save our planet? A Swiss firm has come up with a novel idea to store CO2 underground and turn it into rocks. Company Climeworks has started operating the world's largest direct air carbon capture and storage plant called Okra in Iceland. Located in Hershey, Okra is entirely run on renewable energy. It soaks carbon dioxide directly from the air and buries it as rocks deep underground to be mineralized. Usually, a natural process takes hundreds of thousands of years to turn the gas into basaltic rocks. But here, it takes up to 2 years for the CO2 to turn into white crystals.
Once the carbon dioxide is captured, it will be dissolved in water, and here we are at the injection site. The carbon dioxide dissolved in water will come through this pipe into the well, where it will be injected into the volcanic rock,
at a depth of between 800 meters and 2 kilometers.
The plant is said to be removing 4,000 tons of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere each year. The amount is too little to save the planet from carbon emissions, as climate modeling suggests the world needs to eliminate several billion tons per year by 2050. Here we have to take into account the saying of the head of ORCA that we have to learn to walk before we can run. Legends never die. So 1 year after his death, Argentinians are remembering their hero on his birthday. And that's no one but their legendary football player, Diego Maradona. It would have been Maradona's 61st birthday this year. People all around the country, including in the capital, Buenos Aires, remembered their iconic figure in ceremonies over the weekend. In the city of Rosario, a giant monument was inaugurated in honor of the football star. You can see on your screens fans gathering there in celebration. They say Maradona's love still runs in the veins of Argentinians. One of the disastrous effects of climate change has been the loss of glaciers worldwide. People around the world are trying new ways to tackle this problem. Now, a team of Chilean conservationists have come up with a creative project to protect glaciers and prevent water loss. The project is called Nilus. Winter rains are collected in cone-like structures called stupas. Experts from Chile are using a technology that was first developed in India to make these man-made glaciers. The water is then later used in the dry summer months. Chile has been experiencing a severe drought for years. Nilus director Enrique Gilona says the project hopes to address water shortages in the country.
Here we are not creating new water. Water is something that is in nature already. It has a cycle, but clearly it has been affected by the effects of the great climate change, which we are facing. And we are looking for a solution that actually allows us to protect this water for a longer time in the mountain range, to be able to deliver it downstream toward the communities.
The goal is to store some 100 million liters of water across 50 stupas next year. This would be enough water to supply 100,000 people for 3 months. The first prototype was erected in park arenas, an area known for its glaciers surrounding a volcano, the highest parts of the mountain region. Researchers and activists have warned that glaciers in the Andes Mountains have been receding in recent years. They blame climate change for the loss of glaciers and water shortages.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah. Dear listener, Salaamu Alaikum, and thank you for choosing this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio to listen to. Today is the demise anniversary of Hazrat Masuma, peace be upon her. So we offer our condolences on this sad occasion.
Ya Fatimatu, اشفعي لي في الجنة فإن لك عند الله شأنا من الشأن يا فاطمة اشفعي لي في الجنة فإن لك عند الله شأنا من الشأن
Today, Tuesday, is the 10th of Rabiul Thani. 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 25th of Aban, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 16th of November, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. On the demise of Lady Masuma, peace be upon her, we offer our condolences to all Shia Muslim brothers and sisters.
Allahumma inni as'aluka an takhtim li bis-sa'adah فلا تسلب مني ما أنا فيه ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم.
At this time, we look at the biography of Lady Fatima Masuma. Predictions about this noble lady. It is interesting to know that the Imams foretold the birth of this noble lady and her presence in the city of Qom many years before her birth. The sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, said, "A lady from my children, whose name will be Fatima, daughter of Musa, will die in the city of Qom. On the day of judgment, this lady will intercede for all my Shia to enter heaven." Allama Majlisi narrates from Imam as-Sadiq alayhi salam, "A lady from my children by the name of Fatima will be buried in the city of Qom. Whoever visits her shrine will certainly be admitted to the heaven." The writer of the narration says that the Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, gave these glad tidings even before the birth of his son, the seventh Imam, Imam Musa Kazem, the father of Lady Fatima Masuma. On the demise anniversary of this great lady, we express our condolences to you, dear listeners of today's special IRIB English Radio. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa bin as-sain. Among the important events that took place, the anniversaries, is the demise of Hazrat Masuma Salamullah Alayha. As we know, Hazrat Masuma Salamullah Alayha was the sister of the 8th Infallible Imam Ali ibn Musa Rida Alayhi Salam and the daughter of the 7th Infallible Imam Musa ibn Ja'far. Now we find that at the same time, according to certain high-ranking religious authorities, Maraji Taghlid, Hazrat Masuma Salamullah Alayha was certainly a very high-ranking, pious personality and dignitary. It must be indicated that in the list of the infallibles, only the 14 infallibles are counted. The first one was certainly the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the infallible Imams who were men, plus Hazrat Fatima Zahra salamullah alayha, who was the only lady among the 14 infallibles in Islam. However, according to certain Maraji Taghlid, if this infallibility could be divided into two forms or two types, absolute infallibility and relative infallibility, certainly Hazrat Masuma Salamullah Alayha can be considered as an outstanding member in the list of those people who had relative infallibility. At the same time, we find that other high-ranking and leading ayatollahs indicated that the epithet and the designation Ma'asuma, that is the infallible lady, indicates that Hazrat Ma'asuma Salamullah Alayha was certainly a very high-ranking and very pious personality. It must be indicated that, according to the late author and scholar Muhammad Zahakini, in the case of Hazrat Fatima's Ma'asuma Salamullah Alayha, we find that there is no evidence for her infallibility, yet the epithet and the designation Ma'asuma indicates that she was really very pious, and in this regard she was a role model not only for her contemporaries but for all people. Thank you.
Status of Lady Fatima Masuma, the authentic tradition from Imam Reza, peace be upon him, says, whoever visits Masuma in the city of Qom is like the one who has visited me. This tradition implies that the rewards and benefits awarded to a pilgrim are the same whether he does the pilgrimage of Lady Fatima Masuma alayha salam or Imam Reza alayhi salam. Also, from this tradition, we get the title of Ma'asuma, that means infallible, that was given to this noble lady by Imam himself. The ziyarah to Lady Fatima Ma'asuma that we have in our hand today has been narrated from Imam Reza, peace be upon him. Interestingly, no other non-Ma'asum has had an Imam indicate the text and manner of their ziyarah other than Lady Fatima Masuma. In this ziyarah, Imam Reza refers us to her for intercession due to her nearness, status, and special esteem in the eyes of Allah. O Fatima, intercede for me so that I enter heaven, for indeed you have a great status in the eyes of Allah. The intercession of this noble lady in the matter of our entrance to heaven has been mentioned before in the authentic traditions from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, as in the salutation taught by Imam Reza, peace be upon him. Accept our condolences on this great aza, on demise anniversary of Lady Masuma, peace be upon her.
معصومة هاي اختي الرضا هاي النجيبة ماتت غريبة فاطمة ماتت غريبة بصواب اخوها انصابت بجرح المصيبة ماتت غريبة فاطمة ماتت غريبة.
Why did Lady Fatima Masuma not marry? Two possible responses are cited. The first reason may be due to the fact that the daughters of Imam al-Kazim, especially Lady Fatima Masuma, were women of great distinction, and to find husbands who would be compatible to them was not easy. The fact that there were no suitable spouses present for the daughters of Ahlul Bayt does not seem so far-fetched when we consider the tradition from Imam Sadiq in reference to Lady Fatima Zahra. This tradition says, if God had not created the commander of the faithful Ali ibn Abi Talib for Fatima, then there would not have been a suitable husband for her in the whole world from the time of Adam to the end of mankind. The second reason is that the fear and anxiety caused by Harun's governments at that time was such that no one dared to get close to the family of Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them. To marry one of the daughters of Imam Qasim and become his son-in-law was considered too dangerous. This was one of the many sad difficulties the Imam's family faced due to the tyranny of the rulers of their time.
Sometimes the title that you have is given by one person, and sometimes it is more, a group of people just call you with this title. And sometimes even more, many people, many nations call you. But it does not mean that you really have this title within yourself. So if the title is given by a special person that authorized to give you such a title because he knows you well, he knows the secret, he knows the reality, so it means that you really have this title. Let's go back to Lady Fatima Ma'suma. So the name of this lady is Fatima. Her name is not Ma'suma. Ma'suma is her title. And what does Ma'suma mean? Ma'suma means to be infallible, no sin, no committing a sin. So it's a very high feature and title. Is it right? If a person just call her as a Ma'suma, as infallible, we cannot accept, even many people. But if this title is given to her by an imam or prophet, it's acceptable. Who called and gave this title to Lady Ma'suma? Imam Reza alayhi salam, an infallible imam, ascribed her with this title. Man dara Ma'suma biqum. I will talk about the next or the rest of the hadith. So this title first was given by Imam Reza to her. So because of this, it's famous by the name of Ma'suma. So this is her title. Among the many titles that she has, like the, if I want to mention some of them, we can say Ukhtur Rida, Radiya, Marliya, Taqiya, Naqiya. We should say that beside all these titles, she had very high level in a knowledge. She was honored as a scientist in Islamic studies. She was good educated. She was good educated regarding this issue. And she was a woman that was as a chain of narrator of ahadith. We have a few women of Shia who are in the chain of ahadith, and she was one of them. Like Muhaddis al-Qumi mentioned in his book that the Lady Ma'suma was the best of ladies, was the actually in the chain of ahadith. If I want to talk about the knowledge of Lady Ma'suma regarding the Islam, we have lots of stories, but I want just to mention one story here. Once a group of Shia went to Medina to ask Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam some actual religious question, but Imam was not in Medina. So when they went to the house of Imam Musa, so and they saw that Imam Musa is not there, so Lady Ma'suma took the letter and took the question and answered them, wrote all the answer. When they came back to their city, in the middle of the way, they saw Imam Musa. Imam Musa says that, give me the answer. And when Imam Musa alayhi salam checked all the answer, saw that all the answer are right. And after that, he said for three times that, may his father be sacrificed for her. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
At the end of this episode, again, we offer our condolences on the demise anniversary of Lady Ma'suma, peace be upon her. Till another episode of today's special, Fi Amanillah.
As-salamu alayya bint Rasulillah. As-salamu alayya bint Fatimata wa Khadija. As-salamu alayki ya bint Amira.
About you. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.